Mr. Horn? Mr. Horn? Your secretary said to come in. Bobby Briggs?
Bobby, you know what you have to have in this life?
Listen to that tape that I sent you?
Yes, I listened to your tape, Bobby. Frankly, I am surprised that Leo could master the technology. Damn it, Bobby, what do you want?
Mr. Horn, I have a great admiration for you.
Admiration is for poets and dairy cows, Bobby.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You're standing in front of a mammoth skyscraper, a leviathan that rips a hole in the clouds. Now, what's the first question that comes to your mind? The first question that you ask yourself is, what's on the top floor? Who's up there in the penthouse? And why? Now, that's who I am. Are you?
Yeah, of course I am, yes.
Bobby! Opportunity knocks! I want you to follow Hank Jennings. I want you to chronicle his existence. Show me something that I don't already know.
I'd like to see both.
Very good. Which one would you like to see first?
Well,
thank you.
one is this?
I thought I'd taken that out. That property is called Dead Dog Farm. And it's worse than it sounds.
What is it?
A puzzle. No one ever really stays there long.
When can I see it?
Sorry I'm late, but the little nipper is so excited about our camping trip, I just couldn't coax him out of the car.
Richard, this is Judy Swain from the Happy Helping Hands organization.
I'm little Nikki's case manager.
Charmed, I'm sure. Shall we?
Sit down. Okay. As I was about to tell your friends, the number one thing to know about Nikki is that throughout his brief life, he has been very confused and perhaps traumatized by a persistent random misfortune.
Looks like he's bounced around quite a bit.
Well, yes, he has.
Poor child.
Yes, an orphan, you know.
Really? What happened? Did his parents die?
Nicely deduced, Andrew. Persistent random misfortune?
They were killed.
How were they killed, Miss Swain?
Mysterious circumstances. I'm afraid the orphanage has never provided us with that information.
Andy, let's go. Emergency up the Great Northern.
Looks like a heart attack.
Once stimulated, the female will respond in such a way that the skin around her... Oh, my God.
Looks like Dougie went out with his boots on. Love poems of Lord Byron, Kama Sutra, hookers and handmaidens.
Sheriff, look at this.
What a falling out was here. Doug. Lord, I hate to say it. I told you so. Here, Sheriff. This is it. The murder weapon. She might as well have blown his brains out with a rifle. You never could say no to a woman. The old fool. Adventurous. You'll burn in hell for this.
Take it easy, Mr.
I want to shout to them to wake the dead. She murdered my brother. She's a witch.
He's right. I'm cursed.
Don't be silly.
No, it's true. It all started in high school. Prom night. My date went to kiss me. It was his first day with his new braces. Oh, and they gleamed in the moonlight. And his rubber band snapped and his jaw locked open and we ended up in the emergency room and the doctors had to break his jaw in three places to get it to shut. And it's just gone worse ever since.
A curse needs a cure. I know a bit about these things.
Are you the sheriff?
Let's just say when something really big goes down, I'm the man.
Boys, there's a story about a great football coach
whose name escapes me at this time, who was dead set against having any black players on his team until somebody brought him the finest black halfback anyone had ever seen. And when what's-his-name saw him run 50 yards and no one lay a hand on him, he shouted, "Look at that Indian go." That coach accepted that athlete's desire to compete. Nadine. And today, this story applies to this woman's, this young girl's, right to compete, in addition to it being her moral and constitutional right. Mike Nelson, could you step up here for a second? Now, Nadine has chosen to prove herself to us by taking on our very best, our very own district champion, Mike Nelson.
Yeah! Yeah, come on! All right, man.
Hi, Mike.
Oh! Put your hand here. No, here. All right, now just push against me. Try not to hurt you.
Want to go out tonight?
This is called a tie.
Oh, yeah.
You stupid.
What did you say, Mike?
You're breaking my neck.
You're right. This is sort of like necking. What about tonight?
Coach. Hey, Coach.
One, two, and three.
Now you go out with me.
What happened to you?
I got beat up by a girl.
What'd you do to her?
Donna, I'm not kidding. Now, you gotta help me. It's bad enough getting stomped on in front of the whole team, but she likes me.
Who?
Mrs. Hurley.
Nadine?
It's not
me. I don't know. Maybe an older woman's just what you need.
I don't want to go out with anyone who can body slam me.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
I don't know. Talk to her or something. You know, pretend you're still my girlfriend.
Sorry, Mike. I'm not that good of an actress.
Donna, this is serious. I'm gonna end up in traction.
May I help you?
Heading up a local servants' rebellion. Wondering if you'd help me bundle up loose sticks and burn that master. Malcolm. Malcolm Sloan, as in brother to Evelyn. Mr. Marsh's driver, as in bring that car around, James. So how badly did she damage the Jag?
It's repairable.
Well, that's the nice thing about things. You know, when she and Jeffrey fell in love, gave her a whole new life, that's for sure. I got a nice uniform. And the keys to the liquor cabinet. God, I hope I don't sound ungrateful, because compared to the life I was living, want and dissipation is a step up. And Evelyn, she learned a lot herself. Defensive postures, masking bruises, vicious cycles.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, am I being obscure? Once a fortnight, Jeffrey pounds her mercilessly, and she tries to get even by breaking one of his things. So it perpetuates a cycle.
She's your sister, why don't you stop him?
Sonny boy, nobody stops Mr. Marsh. That's a golden rule around here. You can jot that down and put it under your pillow. I gotta get back. Hey, thanks. I mean that.
Well, it's still standing, almost by force of habit.
Well, habit can provide a strong foundation. Dead Dog Farm, hmm?
Yeah, it's an old legend. Of all the people in the world, the best and the worst are drawn to a dead dog. Most turn away. Only those with the purest of heart can feel its pain. And somewhere in between, the rest of us struggle.
Irene, have you shown this property to anyone else recently?
I don't think anyone's asked to see it this last year.
Three vehicles. Jeep, four-wheeler, and a luxury sedan.
It's open.
Hello?
There's been a meeting here in the past few hours. Forgot there was no running water. Baby laxative. Have to notify the sheriff.
Nikki, stop that, please. Nikki, stop it.
Just had the car checked at gas farm. Told me it was a perfect working Honda. Perfect working Honda. This is also technical. Please, Nikki. Uncle Dick is trying to read.
You hear me?
Are you mad at me, Uncle Dick?
Of course I'm not mad at you. Why should I be mad at you?
Scared you, didn't I?
He's heading up the Air Force's investigation into Briggs' disappearance.
Colonel?
Cooper, you were with Briggs when we lost our coordinates on him.
Yes, I was.
When you were at the site, did you notice any wildlife in the area?
Wildlife?
Birds, owls?
Yes. Yes, just moments before the Major disappeared, I heard an owl.
Any visual contact?
Look, Colonel, Garland Briggs is a good friend of mine. It'd be a lot better if you'd just level with us.
We know about the monitors and the messages from deep space that you received pertaining to me.
You may know something, but you best get your facts straight. Our monitors are pointed at deep space, but the messages we intercepted, that Briggs showed you, were sent from right here in these woods. Now, where they were sent to is another question.
Might this have something to do with a place called the White Lodge?
That's classified.
Colonel, we'd like to help you, but you need to give us a little more to go on here.
Garland Briggs is the best pilot I've ever known. He was born with hardware most of us only dream about. I can tell you this. His disappearance has implications that go so far beyond national security. The Cold War seems like a case of the sniffles.
That engine's fine. The axle should be okay.
How did you get so good at this?
Oh, my Uncle Ed. You think I'm good? You should see him. He can fix anything. I was talking to your brother today, a little bit about your situation.
Look, James, mind your own business.
Are you afraid? Are you afraid of your husband? Are you?
There's nothing to talk about.
I know what it's like to be alone. You are afraid of him, aren't you? Why don't you just leave?
It's complicated. It's not as bad as I made it out to be.
Daddy just made the smartest decision that he's made all year.
Yeah? That's not saying much. What'd he do?
He put me on the payroll.
Bobby, you junior achiever, you.
And this right here, This is my first assignment.
Anything I can help you with?
Maybe. Maybe you could help me celebrate. After I show this to the boss.
You want to know what I think, Bobby Briggs?
Tell.
I think that we should think about doing business together.
Audrey, I like the way you think.
Thank you.
Mr. Horn, how's it going? What is this you're doing here exactly?
Gettysburg, day one. The South is winning.
I followed Hank. I got those pictures you wanted. See, I don't know what he's up to, but I'm sure it's no good. I mean, I've never seen these guys before, but they're not exactly from the Rotary. You know what I mean?
I like you, Bobby.
Oh, I like you too.
How much am I paying you?
But we haven't actually discussed money.
Well, you consider this your first raise. Now you come back tomorrow, and we will discuss a full-time position.
Thank you, Ben. I won't let you down.
Of the gods, my dear. It's the bubbles. Wine comes in at the mouth. Love comes in at the eye. I touch my glass to my lips. I look at you and sigh.
Thank you, Pete. That's very lyrical.
It's Yeats. He's a poet.
Yes. I know.
The only other toast I know was a limerick.
No, really. Really, Pete, that was
there
very
once
touching.
Was a lady from Galway.
Josie!
We'll have our appetizers now.
Yes.
Oh, Josie, I just want you to know that even though your station in this household has changed, I intend to show you all the respect and affection that you deserve.
Thank you, Catherine. And I will try to do the same.
Oh, and put on your little maid's cap.
Catherine, don't you think maybe you're being a little hard on her? I mean, she is still part of the family, you know.
Josie had a hand in Andrew's death, and she did everything in her power to destroy me. She's lucky she's not hanging from a tree.
I don't believe it. Not the Josie I know.
I would like to propose a toast to Ben Horn's double cross. Here's to Josie Packard's dirty deeds, and here's to the woman who brought them down. Here's to me.
Here's to you, Poodle.
Diane, I'm holding in my hand a nationally distributed newspaper. My opening move responding to Wyndham Earle's opening move was printed in the personal columns per my instructions. But I've already received his response to this yesterday. He anticipated my response to his opening move perfectly. He's toying with me, Diane. I wonder where he is and what he's planning. Meanwhile, I've spent the past 2 days without badge and gun the best way I know how, occupying both body and spirit. Looked into some real estate, what the local agent charitably refers to as a fixer-upper. Nonetheless, it's a kind of place where a man might make a home, raise a family, which is something, in spite of my past, I still hope I'm able to do. However, as is the case here in Twin Peaks, even this bucolic hideaway is filled with secrets. Secrets that may be connected to my trouble at the Bureau and the cocaine that was found in my automobile. Agent Hardy's deliberations will soon be completed, and if I am not adequately able to defend myself, there's a very real possibility of imprisonment.
Hello, Agent Cooper.
Hardy.
I stole it.
Don't you think you better give it back?
Not until you look at what's inside.
Okay. What am I going to find in here, Audrey?
Pictures my father paid for. I did good, didn't I?
Audrey, you did better than good. You may have saved my life.
So that makes us even now, right?
Denise.
Hi, Coop.
Yeah. Sorry, am I interrupting something?
Special Agent Denise Bryson, Drug Enforcement Agency. This is a very good friend of mine, Audrey Horn.
They have women agents?
More or less. Audrey, if you'll excuse us. Agency business.
I thought you were suspended.
I am. Thanks again. Good night.
Thank you. Well, are you welcome?
Our photographs of an abandoned property on the outskirts of town. Jean Renault, Hank Jennings, Norma Jennings' stepfather, Sergeant King, Mounted Police. They were at the scene earlier today. In the kitchen, I found traces of cocaine and the baby laxative used to step it out. I think if you compare this, which was taken from the farm, with the stuff found in my automobile, you'll find it'd be a match.
That's good news, Coop.
Yeah.
Now, can we talk about something more important? Exactly how old is that girl?
Denise, I would assume you're no longer interested in girls.
Coop, I may be wearing a dress, but I still put my panties on one leg at a time, if you know what I mean.
Not really.
You gonna eat that pie or just push it around in my china?
I guess I ain't all that hungry.
Wanna talk about it?
Oh, you don't wanna hear my problems.
We used to talk about everything. We could still talk, Ed.
You remember when we were kids, all those plans we made? It was like we were just waiting around for our lives to begin, planning all that stuff we'd do when we did. Somehow, life starts before you know it. Suddenly, you're halfway through living it, and all those plans, they just don't mean a damn thing. I'm living my life, Norma, I just don't like it much.
Dick?
May I have a word with you?
Sure.
I fear we may have a problem.
What problem?
It's our mutual friend, little Nicky.
Yes?
How shall I put this? Well, he's... Andy, I believe that little Nicky, incredible as it may seem, may in fact be the devil.
The devil?
Or at the very least, homicidal in the first degree. Andy, we've got to find out what happened to his parents.
I've got the autopsy report. Duane, Dougie died of natural causes, heart attack. No evidence of foul play.
Did you check him for witchcraft?
That's not the kind of thing that shows up in an autopsy.
I want to press charges.
Now, Duane, you know I can't press charges if there hasn't been a crime.
Well, she killed him with sex. How much clearer does it have to be?
Duane, it's been a long, hard day. Why don't you just go home and try and get some rest?
You want me to go to sleep? Not until that murdering hussy is behind bars where she belongs. I'll sue her. I'll file civil suits. She'll not get her hands on any of Dougie's money. As long as I have a breath. Not one single red cent.
Harry, you still have that bottle of Irish in your office? I want to put some in a little warm milk for the widow Milford.
Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs against the cheek of night like a rich dewel in an Ethiop's ear. Beauty too rich for use, for earth too dear.
Sheriff Station, this is Lucy speaking. One moment, please. Sheriff Truman? Sheriff? Sheriff Truman? Sheriff Truman, you have a telephone call, line 3. One moment, please.
What do you think underpants are for, anyway?
Tell us a moment, please, Lana. One more.
Yeah, I got one. This one time, I had this cousin who was a clown in this rodeo, you know. And they just had all these really big horses, you know. And you will not believe what they made him do.
What?
They made him, thank you. They made him stand in the middle and take his clown costume completely off.
I don't want to put the squeeze on you. You've been to prison. I don't need to paint you any pictures.
What's this all about?
For starters, you're guilty of a serious parole violation. Enough to put you back inside. And unless you cooperate, I intend to do everything in my power to make sure you stay there.
My name is Ernie Niles, and I confess, I'm guilty. I guess I'm terribly guilty. Against my will, of course.
Mr. Niles, we're not really interested in all
that. They held me at gunpoint. They beat me. They threatened me with physical violence. These men are animals. They'll stop at nothing.
Mr. Niles, just
they wanted me to sell drugs for them. I tried to resist, but my family means everything to me. And when they threatened my family, and when they threatened my wife, well, I weakened, you know. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I guess I did wrong, but, you know, love makes a guy do foolish things, you know, illegal things.
Ernie, will you shut up? Mr. Niles, we appreciate the trials you've been through. We sympathize with you.
You do?
That's why we're here.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Now tell us everything you know.
Yes, Mrs. They tortured me, and the thing was that they were filthy, horrible, disgusting.
Mr. Niles, please. Just the information pertaining to the selling of drugs, if you please.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, they got, four kilos of cocaine to sell, so and they're looking for a buyer, so to protect my family, I don't know if I could find one.
Have you?
I mean, are you kidding? I don't know anybody who would do anything like that.
You do now. A major drug trafficker will arrive from Seattle tomorrow. You will set up a meet with these men at the Dead Dog Farm.
I will. How will I know him?
You're looking at him.
Him? Will you excuse me? I got a nervous bladder.
He beat her, I swore revenge, something violent and noble. She begged me not to hurt him, made me promise, said it was for both our sakes. That was 4 years ago. One day I swear I'll kill him. No matter what it costs.
I'm sorry.
What are you doing here sitting alone in the dark?
Nothing. Just sitting here.
Well, read a book or something, will you? It's creepy. Stay right. He'll be back. You know he will. This is just some of that top secret jazz.
I'm not so sure this time.
I was at the Double R a couple weeks ago. Dad and I, we had this talk about this dream he had. It was a big house made of white marble, lots of lights. Dad was there, and I was there too. Living a life of deep harmony and joy or something like that. And there was all this stuff about my future. Good stuff. Kind of nuts. But it was cool.
Your father is an extraordinary human being.
My father is a deeply weird individual. But he has a lot more going on under his head than most. Well, that's for sure.
Sometimes when I'm sleeping, he runs his fingers through my hair. He thinks I don't notice that.
How long have I been gone?
2 days.
Much shorter.
Garland!
Oh. Bobby, I want you to put out that cigarette. Then I'd like you to fix me a cocktail. A strong one, if you don't mind.
Sure, Dad.
Is everything all right?
No, dear. Not exactly.